Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to Psalm chapter 139 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter 139 in the Word of God. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled Heroes of the Faith. And we've been looking at different characters on Sunday morning, male and female, some that have chapters written about them, others that just have a couple of verses written about them, like Abishai that we saw about 9 weeks ago. And over the last 8 weeks now, we've been looking really at the life and just some glimpses of Peter's life. And we don't have all the time to be able to go through all the books that he wrote and all the stories that are written about him. But we've been able to dig in and to kind of look at this series entitled Heroes of the Faith. And today we want to continue in this series of Heroes of the Faith and look at a verse that I know it's weird opening up to the book of Psalms to look at the life of Peter, but watch as these correlate and really mold here in just a moment. So Psalm chapter 139, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 139, and we're going to look here at just one verse, but this psalm written by David really begins to dig in at the awesomeness of God, how God in that humans, no matter where you're at, can never get away from God. And David begins to write, if I go here, you are there. If I make my bed here, you are there. And if I try to hide here, you are there. And David begins to talk about this incredible relationship that he has with this God that is omnipresent, this omniscient God that is all-powerful, that this God that no matter who you compare him with, there is no comparison to this God. And so he kind of begins to conclude this thought looking at verse number 14. Would you follow along as I read? The Bible says this in Psalm 139 and verse number 14, the Bible says, I will praise thee. Well, why? For I am fearfully, think about that word, that God's careful, loving creation of him inspired David to write, I am fearfully. He's standing in awe and revering God. I am fearfully and wonderfully. This creation, he leaves David in wonder, in marvel at the amazing, even trying to comprehend this amazing thought that I am fearfully watched and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. This morning I want to preach a message entitled Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I love the songs that were sung this morning. That, Lord, we can bless your name. Father, these songs that we sang today, whether for the first time or many times, like a song, Amazing Grace, or these others that were introduced to us today, we can sing about your grace and be thankful for it. Now, Father, as we talk about being fearfully and wonderfully made, as we talk about this man Peter's life, I ask, Lord, that we would learn and glean and grow today. Father, may we never be convicted or be afraid of being convicted. Father, may we welcome that conviction. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd be right here, right now. For the one that's hurting. For the one that's bitter. For the one that grips the chair in pride. No matter what our story, background, family tree is, would you grow us today, God? Father, I need you. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the psalmist thousands of years ago can begin to write that he is fearfully and wonderfully made and that he is going to praise God for it, and begin to talk about the marvelous works that his soul knoweth right well, how much more can you and I, living in 2022, be in awe of our God? You see, you and I know that every living creature is made up of microscopic cells so small that it is said in science that the letter O in just 12 font on a page could contain between 30 to 40,000 of these microscopic cells. I'm not a science teacher, but we have many of them that sit in this room today, and I hope they know that I did some research and pretty research well. I might not get it exactly right, Brother Mancroni, but I will try and listen very carefully. Each microscopic cell is a world in itself, containing an estimated 200 trillion tiny molecules of atoms. Each cell, think about this, in other words, is a micro universe of almost unbelievably complexity. All these cells put together will make up one living creature. You see, each cell has its own specialized function, and each works to an intricate timetable which tells it when to grow and when to divide and when to make hormones and when to die. Every minute of every day, some 3 billion cells in the body die, and the same number are created to take their place. During any given moment in the life of any one of these cells, thousands of events are taking place, each one being precisely coordinated at a molecular level by countless triggers. The human body has more than a million of them. A million in each square inch in the skin, 30 billion in the brain, as well as billions of red blood cells in the veins. You say, Pastor, what does this mean? What this means is that for you and I to believe a lie that all this happened by accident would be very foolish, my friend. You and I, on a molecular level, you and I, if we just begin to dig into these cells that are in our body, can I tell you, friend, that didn't happen by a big accident or a bang in the sky. This happened because God wanted it to happen. And you and I believe, as Bible believers in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, that God Almighty created you and I. He created this body. The psalmist is exclaiming, hey, he created me. This is incredible. This is puts you and I in awe. This is unbelievable. And that same God, check it out, that created David, that created Peter, is the same God that created you and me. And if he created you and I with this unbelievably intricate cells and atoms and red blood cells and white blood cells, can I tell you this today? Hold on. Listen to me for just a moment. He has a purpose and he has a plan for your life today. If you're sitting here today, it doesn't matter where you've been or who you've been around. It doesn't matter your family tree. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. Jesus Christ has a plan for your life. How many are thankful for that? Would you say amen today? God has a plan. God had a plan for Peter that we've been looking at in the book of Luke, chapter number 5, for the last 7 or 8 weeks. When we look at what God did in just those 11 verses that we've been digging into and kind of exegeting the Word of God in such a way that we see that God had a plan for his life. And if God has a plan for Peter's life, this disciple that many would say, well, he was one of the weakest of disciples. If God had a plan for a disciple that was known for his personality that's not really intriguing, that was not super intelligent, if God had a plan for Peter, who is described as the most human of all the disciples, and perhaps even as some commentators would call him simple and natural, if God had a plan for Peter, you and I have to comprehend he's got a plan for your life and he's got a plan for my life. And if we begin to dig into Peter, I just have to go the opposite. There is much that you and I can learn from the life of Peter. There is so much in his life that you and I can relate to. I told you at the beginning of the series, Peter actually is one of my favorite characters in the Word of God. I think he's relatable. I think he's incredible. I think he kind of speaks his mind. He kind of puts it all out there. There is so much in the Word of God that you and I can learn from His life. And as we dig into this first point today, I want to say this. For all the men that are sitting in this room today, for all the dads, for all the males, can I tell you, whether you're a dad, a grandpa, a great-grandparent, or you're not married yet, can I tell you this? Men, we ought to desire to grow in the Word of God this morning in such a way to say, I want to be a man that is used like Peter. I want to be a man that is truly in 2022, a man that stands for something, a man of morals, a man that is a good husband, a man that is a good father, a man that one day, listen, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, listen, no matter the mistakes that you've made in your past, a man that is not looking backward, but a man that is looking forward, a man that has his eyes on the prize, a man, listen very carefully, a man that can be used of God. Men, if that's your desire today, guys, would you say amen today? It ought to be our desire. We look at the life of Peter, we see, first of all, number one, Peter desired to grow. Number one, Peter desired to grow. You see, Peter was quick to ask questions. In the day and age we live, we're almost scared. There are many that are scared to ask questions. Somebody's going to think I'm foolish, or maybe I don't have a lot of life experience, or maybe I'm not intelligent. But what I love about Peter is that Peter had a desire to grow. Jesus had been teaching about forgiveness. And here's what Jesus said, listen very carefully, and I quote, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother." Here's what Jesus is teaching. "But if he will not hear thee, then go and take one or two more, that with the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. But then again, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." So he's teaching, hey, here's how you deal with those that you are at odds with. Here is how we're going to deal with this. Here's what we're going to do. You go in, and it's this incredible teaching that Jesus is giving to his disciples. And here's Peter, and he's listening to it, and I'm sure he's beginning to think, well, yeah, I got a two or three of those, and man, we've been arguing for years, and they won't listen to me, and I've tried this and tried that. And so here's what Peter does. He asks a question. Here's what he says. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? I mean, till seven times? I mean, I've forgiven him before and they hurt me again. I forgave him again and it's my brother, it's just some other fisherman with it. I mean, I forgive him like five or six times. I mean, till for seven times? Is that how many times I'm supposed to forgive them?" And here's what Jesus said. "I say not unto thee until seven times," listen very carefully, "but until 70 times seven." We would have never gotten this without Peter's desire to grow, the questions that he would ask. Oh, when Jesus was ready to close his ministry on earth, Peter had heard Jesus say repeatedly, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." Immediately, Peter wanted to know, hey, okay, you've been telling us to follow you, and now you're saying I can't go with you. So I want to know, where are you going and why can't I follow you? Here's what he said in John 13. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" And Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, I just want to know, why can't I follow thee now? What is stopping me from following you?" You see, Peter had a desire to grow. Peter, when he was with Jesus, is asking questions. He is gleaning from him. He wanted to know all that he could as he sat with these several years with his master, with his savior. All he wanted to know, he wanted to know more. And Jesus would teach him, and I want to know 70 times, why can't we go with you? Over and over again, what we see in Peter's life was this incredible desire to get to know his savior more. And friend, I ask you today, I know you're in church, and for some of you, you're faithful each and every week, and I'm so thankful for you. There might be others in here. It's been a little while since you've been in church. And man, I'm equally thankful that you are in church today. But I want to ask you today, while you are sitting here, what do you want to know? What do you want to grow in? Do we come in and fly through a couple hymns singing about, oh yeah, I didn't even get that all three hymns today were on grace. And I can't even remember what Brother Crampy played. And I was kind of tuned out as Brother John sang today. And I kind of got the ending there as he raised his hands and praised Jesus. So I'm kind of, hold on, time out. Like, what are we doing here? Do you want to know him? Peter did. I'm afraid in our churches nowadays, we come in, we run through a schedule, we get the orchestra up, orchestra down, we shake some hands, we come in, we get in a life stage group, we're right on time, we get our coffee, we sit down, we fellowship, we end right at noon, we're out of here by 12:18, we're at our restaurant, we get our meal, we thank the waitress, we go home, we take a nap, we're back at 5:50, we get in service at 6 o'clock, sing a couple hymns, hear a special, pastor's done by 7 o'clock, and we call it a day, and meanwhile, we've never met with Jesus. We haven't grown in him. We haven't approached his throne. We have not grown in grace. We have not grown in knowledge. No, what we love about Peter is he had a desire to grow. He would ask these questions, but he also had a desire to grow in knowledge. He said in one of his books, 2 Peter, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Watch now, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Five times in this passage of scripture, from verses number 2 through verses number 8, five times Peter mentions grow in knowledge. The very ending, the last of what Peter writes, he said this, and I quote, but grow in grace, listen very carefully, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Understand, in this AM service, do you have a desire to grow? No, hold on. See, I'll start preaching, and we're kind of going along, and man, I'm about to head into point number 2, and man, it's only 11:34. We're doing great on time. And all of a sudden, we start looking around. Man, we're 2 now. Can I tell you something, friend? We all have plans to grow in something. You plan this summer out. Your kids got out of school. You're planning. We plan everything. Carrie and I are going to take a trip to Disney in September, and it's not a surprise now. We've already told our kids we're planning for that trip. We're planning a lot more now. The gas is $5 a gallon. I'll tell you something. I can't even get on that subject right now. But nonetheless, we are planning our finances out. We're planning this trip. We're going to be here this day, and we're going to do this. And we've used Miss Debbie Eider, and she's helped us as a travel agent get everything settled and everything scheduled out. We're planning that trip. Can I tell you? We plan everything. We plan soccer practices. We plan basketball practices. We plan when to practice our instruments. We plan when to come in here to church and new mic checks. And we plan, excuse me, friend, when to water your yard. If you don't water your yard, you probably ought to water it right now because we got like 2 more weeks of this stuff. You're going to lose your yard. Nonetheless, I have planned when to water my yard. We plan when to go grocery shopping. We plan vacations. We plan fun time. We plan when we're going to watch this movie. We plan family time. We plan boyfriend and girlfriend time. We plan, excuse me, we have planned our whole lives out. I'm going to ask you today, over the summer, what is your plan for growing in Christ? What's your plan for devotions? What's your plan for growing in him and meditating on his word day and night? What is your plans, dads, to be a better dad, a better father, a better husband? Look, we can plan everything out. We're going to be at the gun show, and we're going to be at the car show, and man, we're going to go down and watch the race, the Brickyard 400, whatever it is, and we're going to go over here and watch football in August when they start, Colts start suiting up, and we're going to get ready for that preseason. We're going to plan ahead. We're going to get our tickets. We're going to plan for the golf course. We're going to get our tea time. Can I tell you something, man? All those things are not bad, but I'm here to tell you, we are in a world of hurt in our churches and in our homes and in America when we plan out our lives and leave God out of it. God forbid, gentlemen, that we don't have a desire to grow. We have a desire for everything else. We have a desire to be right. We have a desire for our hobby horse. We have a desire for our relationships with others. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, what is our desire to be more like our Savior? What is our desire to grow? We plan everything. And isn't it amazing? We never leave time for God. You spend an hour a day on Facebook, 3 hours a day on TikTok. We can spend 30 minutes watching Wheel of Fortune and 30 minutes watching Jeopardy and an hour in the mornings watching The Price is Right. And well, it doesn't matter what show, The Amazing Race, Survivor, whatever your show is, isn't it amazing how much time we can spend watching Hulu and Prime and Disney Plus and Netflix and binge watching a show, and yet we feel so good about we gave God 5 minutes of our morning. Shame on us, friend. Shame on us. You know what I love about this disciple? Man, he had a desire. If I'm going to be around you, Jesus, I'm going to soak up every word. Here's the teaching. God, tell us more. What about 70 times? Why can't we go with you? What's going to stop us? What's going to happen? What was his desire? God, give me more. Number one, Peter had a desire to grow. Number two, Peter developed character. Peter developed character. We can spend the next 6 months diving into each of these incredible stories of Peter, but we know in his character, Peter had very high morals. You see, he urged his readers to pursue a virtuous life. A virtuous life, you ready for this? Like self-control and patience and godliness and kindness. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. All of these building on each other. What is it? It is a development of character. And Peter said, not only to put away or to build on these things, but also to put away deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Not only are you taking in the good, but you're getting rid of the bad. He said, and I quote in 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying aside, getting rid of, you're done with it, aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. This, my friend, should be our life. Do we push others towards godly morals? Are we more in support of the world than we are of Christ? It is amazing what you and I will defend. It is amazing the preferences. It is amazing the political realm. It is amazing the things of this world that you and I will defend. But can I tell you something, friend? Are we defending the world more than we are our Savior? Where's the character nowadays? We're the men and women who will stand up for what is right and for God's word and Christ and do it in a way that's love and kindness and as the word said here, charity, a deep love, a deep feeling, a deep concern, not just for a brother in Christ, but also for the lost world. He developed character. He was independent to understand of anything that at times would be thrown at him. And these initiatives and these people that would try to initiate and be against him. And what I love about his developing character is Peter was independent and exercised, well, personal godliness. Not only personal godliness, but he took initiative in it. You see, the Bible says it like this. Peter was not going to wait for anyone. Peter was going to see the need and take the lead. At the time of Jesus' arrest, Peter cut off the ear of a servant of the high priest in his attempt to protect Jesus. Man, he saw the need. And here's whether right or wrong, I'm going to take the initiative. And man, you're not going to go after my Jesus. And he cut off an ear. Jesus so kindly repaired that ear, but Peter was always first. In the book of Luke chapter 24, Peter was the first to approach the empty tomb. A foot race to see it. Oh no, John, you're not going to beat me. I'm running. It's a foot race. I'm going to be there first. When that Sanhedrin imposed a gag order on his preaching, Peter refused to reply, saying in Acts chapter 5, it's better to obey God rather than man. Friend, can I point it this way today? Listen very carefully. Would to God we would have some young people that would take the lead in the youth room. Would to God we would have some young people that would stand up for what is right. college students, let me put it this way, and for those of you who are young and married and those maybe who just graduated from high school, can I put it this way today? We don't have time for you to wait to figure out whether you're going to serve God or not. Time is short. We need you right now to stand up for what is right. Is anybody with me today? Amen. Would to God we'd have, I think, Brother Pastor Dan, I can't find you, 60 plus or so that's going to camp this next week. Is that right? Right around there? 60 plus. Can I tell you, I'm not sure, 50-some kids that are going to camp. Let me tell you something. For all the kids and teenagers in this room, would to God we would have some young people that would stand up to the plate and say, no matter what all my other friends are doing, no matter what the world says, no matter what's going viral on TikTok or what's getting all the views and likes on YouTube, I'm going to stand up for the very word of God. I'm going to be used of God. I'm going to surrender my life. I can go here and I can go to this college and I can do this and I can do this. But would to God we'd have some young men and some young ladies who would hazard themselves for the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender to what he has for their life, as we've been talking about for the last several weeks, of launching out, not staying in the boat, not staying on the side, not continuing to just play with a net. No, get in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ and launch out at his word and watch what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. Would to God we'd have an older generation that would take some initiative. And around our country today, I get it, we are morally bankrupt in America. I understand that now we are taking an entire month of the month of June to celebrate something that goes absolutely contrary to the Word of God. This is not hate speech. This is preaching that comes straight from the Bible. And God forbid now we live in a country where we celebrate it. We march it in the streets, the rainbow that was given to mankind as a promise from God, and we have trashed it. Now we have men and women and young people that are going out and supporting what is absolutely opposite of what God made. It's not love, friend. It's an abomination to God. And would to God we'd have some young people. I know not everybody likes this kind of preaching in here. And listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm here to tell you that this Bible can be offensive to our beliefs. And would to God we'd have some young men and some young women that would stand up and quit standing for this nonsense and this sickness and this pervertedness that is taking over America. And would to God we'd have an older generation that wouldn't just sit on the sideline and, well, I guess that's it. America's done for. And now we got June and it's given over to all this crazy pervertedness. And look who we got in the White House. And look at the gas and the prices. And I guess we'll just sit back and relax. No, friend, would we have some older people that have developed character to stand up and say, our God is still seated on the throne. He's not done. He's not finished. He cried out on the cross, it is finished, so that you and I could live in 2022 with righteousness and holiness and purity, telling the next generation, it's not over. It's not done. Get up. Hold the banner high. The gospel has to go out. Would to God we have an older generation that would quit harping on the younger generation and stand arm in arm saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ must go forward. Man, would to God we'd have some dads that would step up to the plate and be the spiritual leader that God called you and me to be. We live in a world, gentlemen, where this is what we have done. We have now sat on the sidelines of apathy. We have now sat and relaxed and handed our responsibility over to somebody else. And God says, gentlemen, it's your responsibility. God forbid we ever come to a place, Carrie, in our family where it's you that's doing all the devotions, you that's calling everybody to church, and it's you that's well, let's go and let's do them. I guess we gotta be there. Let me tell you something, gentlemen. God never gave that responsibility to my wife. He gave it to me. And a developed character is character that says, I desire to grow. I desire to have godly character. But when we look at the life of Peter, I want you to look at this as well. Watch very carefully. Peter was designed perfectly. You see, not only did he have a desire, he was developed, but also he was designed perfectly. And friend, I want to tell you today, so were you. Do you know, friend, that Jesus wants you? He wants you. Well, it's not really. Pastor, to be honest with you, I'm of a totally different religion, and I believe in a different God. But friend, that's great, but there's only one true God. And that God wants you. You know why he wants you? Because he loves you. Don't allow the opinions of other people to shape your concept of who God, the God of this Bible, is. Get to know Jesus for yourself and let the goodness of Christ change you from the inside out. And the Bible says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, watch very carefully, and eternal life. You see, the Savior that came, the Savior that gave his life, the Savior that died, the Savior that rose from the grave, the Savior that lives, graciously gives life to you, and he graciously gives life to me. You and I, we're not perfect, but we do serve a perfect God. And no matter where you and I have been, no matter the friends we have made, no matter the mistakes we've had in our lives, no matter the time we spent in prison, or the people that we have hurt, or the sin that we have committed, can I tell you, friend, there is a God in heaven that sent his only begotten Son, and he died on an old rugged cross to die to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. Can I tell you today, friend, nobody is excluded. Nobody is left out. It's a simple calling and faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God that has existed and exists today and will exist forever, is a God that loves you. And he created you. And can I tell you, friend, he created you for, well, such a time as this. We have across our nation, Brother Miller, an epidemic. I'm not talking about, friend, COVID or monkeypox or whatever the next thing's going to be. We have an epidemic of young people and middle-aged people that are calling it quits. They're committing suicide. We have never in the history of the United States seen suicide at the rate that it is right now. Amongst 12-year-olds, it is up 124% at the age of 12. My son, who is in here today, is, Tommy, are you in here somewhere? Is 12 years old. Tommy, can you run up here just real quick? My son today is 12 years old. When I read as a pastor a statistic about an age group, come right up here if you don't mind, Tommy, so overflow can see, about an age group that is this age that's calling it quits. Tommy, I'll be honest, as your dad, man, it breaks my heart. What brings a kid at this age to say, nothing in life is worth living for, so I'm done? What has caused this age to say, that's it? I'm done. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. My existence will not be missed. I'm done. Whew. Meanwhile, you and I have the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, child, I love you. And I died for you. And I'll give you life. And you don't have to cut yourself. And you don't have to mar yourself. And you don't have to hurt yourself. And you don't have to commit suicide. I'll use you on this earth. Amen. I got a job for you. I got a plan for your life. I got a pep for your step. I got a wife that's waiting for you. I got kids that you're going to raise in church and love life and love me. And no matter what the world is doing around you, you, Tommy, in your age, you can have peace and joy and happiness. And you can find love and you can have peace. And not as the world gives, but no, you come to me, child. I'll give it to you. I'll give you such peace. The world can't even understand it. That's what our God says. You're sitting here today. Let me tell you something. This is my son, and I die for him, and I love this kid. He gave me, I was into Batman when I was little, like big time Batman, and he gave me this little collector's car, Batman, this morning. And I appreciate it. I probably paid for it, but nonetheless, it was a great find, okay? Great find. Can I tell you? As much as I love this kid, it doesn't even compare to the love that our Abba Father has for you and for me. And every teenager that's in this room today, you look at me and you look at me closely. You're harming yourself. You stop it. Well, I don't have to listen to you. No, but you ought to listen to your Abba Father that's saying, child, you don't have to dabble in that. You don't have to go out and find because I'm not accepted and I'm not liked and I can't find my identity, so I have to. No, you stop for just a moment. You quit finding your identity in popularity or how many friends you have on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or how many followers you have on YouTube. Let me tell you, you don't find your identity in how popular you are at school or how many free throws you can make or getting that position as a center setter on the volleyball court. Let me tell you something. All those things will vanish and will go away. Way, and it goes away pretty quickly, but your relationship with Jesus Christ will never end. It'll give you joy, peace, happiness. It will give you harmony. It will give you identity. That, let me tell you something, friend, nothing on this earth can compare to it. You find your identity in Him. And let me tell you something. You are designed perfectly. You're perfect. Tommy, grab my Bible up there real quick. Check this. Listen to this very carefully. Yeah, but I wasn't born in this family, and I didn't have a dad that loved me, and I didn't have a mom, and you know, I'm not popular, and I'm not this. No, hold on. You listen, watch this. This verse here in verse number 14. Watch very carefully. Tommy, read verse number 14 out loud. Listen to this. Watch.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Tommy, do you believe that? So do I. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, Peter, he's so scatterbrained. Peter asked all these stupid questions. Peter, if he only let one net out, Peter. Let me tell you something. Man, I love Peter. I love him. He had a desire to grow. The man had incredible character. And just like you and I, he was designed by God Almighty. And that God wants a relationship with you.